Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We started in our last program talking about Sergeant Andrew Tamaracy, where they pronounced it for us, that we got, Tamaracy, who is a Marine who is in, reportedly right now, in jail in Mexico because he took a wrong turn. And our program came to a crashing end because time just ran out. Mm-hmm. And, I think about Ibrahim. I think about her over in the prison in Sudan, and in Sudan, where she's there because she's a Christian. She loves Jesus, and she had to have the baby chained to the prison floor. She was chained to the prison floor while she was having a baby. The reports are she's in a jail, a prison that's designed for 100 people. CBN News reports that has over 1,000 people in it, and it's because she loves Jesus and she didn't want to deny her faith in Jesus, not because she's a bad person. And we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything in the context of that. And it's like, what? At the same time, we are freeing prisoners in Gidmo for the Taliban. And now we have, Sergeant Andrew, a Marine who fought for us, who volunteered to go fight for us, for our that's what they're fighting for. They're fighting, they're protecting us from enemies, foreign and domestic, defending the Constitution of the United States so we can have the freedom that we have. Freedom's not free. And this young man, it takes a while to have a war mind back to an everyday mind. Your mindset's right where, you think about it, you're every day, you're patrolling, you did an excellent job. If you have not heard about the real meaning of Memorial Day, you need to hear about it because Steve was talking about it, because Steve, as a Marine, did 2 tours of duty for us, like Andrew, but he did it in Iraq. And I just want you on the program today to get the perspective, because we've got to start having compassion for our fellow citizens who are being taken captive around the world. And now somebody who fought for us, who took a wrong turn, who called us, and you're about to hear a 911 call. A 911 call where he calls casually because you're not violating any laws. You're just calling 911. You have a problem, call 911. And the first thing out of her mouth is, "You're not on American soil. We can't do anything for you." And it's like, I wasn't in American soil when I was in Afghanistan. I wasn't an American soil in Iraq and I was fighting for you. Why now then I need your help because I took a wrong turn down here? And he's saying I took a wrong turn. Mm-hmm. He's not saying anything else other than, "Hey, I took a wrong turn." And she's basically debating with him in a nice way of saying, still, you shouldn't have done it. You have plenty of times. Like, he's an American soldier. And she didn't know he was a soldier at that point, but he's an American citizen. And then we're gonna hear that call, because we ran out of time on our previous program. We want to hear this in its context. And I want to talk to you, Steve, about this, because people you can't look at this and think of this if you haven't been at war, if you haven't come out of war in the constant state of readiness and alertness, and you're watching your friends die and you're watching people lose limbs and you're trying to figure out, okay, you're coming back to the society. It takes a while. And so we're going to find out he was just leaving a place where he was able to go get some physical or mental or health care. And he was just leaving that and ended up in this whole situation where he is at a notorious reportedly prison in Mexico, and my heart just breaks for him. You know what I'm saying? It just breaks for him. And it's like Jesus said this. He said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me." He said, "When I was in jail, you didn't even visit me." But right now we have Ibrahim and Miriam Ibrahim, I believe, right, John, in Sudan prison, who's a Christian. Chained to the floor, reportedly having her brand new baby right now that she's going to be hung in 2 months after she nurses her child. We have Pastor
Yusuf
Saeed and Yusuf in Iran. And now we have Andrew, Sergeant Andrew, who fought for us in the Marines. And we're not coming after him. I mean, who are we as a nation? I mean, think about it. Who are we as a nation? And And there is a good part of us. We just got to bring that out. We got to say, wait a minute, I just got so tied up in my day-to-day life. I've got to undo that and get back into the original intent of this nation, what God's plans were for it. And he fought for us. We need to be there for him. Mm-hmm. We need to be there for him. I want you to hear right now. This is a 911 call that he made. This is a recording. You can actually hear this again on the VFN Torch. But Sergeant Andrew is just making a casual phone call to 911 because he figures that when he's riding his truck, because he was in Mexico for the day, he left his truck in America. He comes back from Mexico legally, goes to his truck, he's about to drive off, but he takes the wrong turn and ends up in, and he explains this on the 911 call at the Mexican gate. And he has legal guns in his car. You know, Second Amendment still applies. They're all legal and licensed to him. And he's figuring that they're going to take his guns probably because of whatever reason, this particular point. That's all he's thinking about. And listen to the response of the beginning of a man that started a journey of him being chained to the bed for 30 days straight, all 4 points, chained to a bed, chained to a bed overnight, naked, put into a prison cell with packed full of way more than people can fit in there, with drug dealers and murderers, threatened to be raped, threatened to hurt him and harm him. And it started with this phone call, when he made a simple phone call, and we could have said, we'll be right there. And we didn't respond to him. Listen to Sergeant Andrew's phone call, his first call, when he made a wrong turn, calling for help.
911 emergency.
Hi, I'm having a little bit of an emergency here.
What's going on?
Hello, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. What is the address of the emergency?
Okay, I'm at the border of Mexico right now. My problem is I crossed the border by accident, and I have 3 guns in my truck, and they're trying to take my guns from me.
So you're in Mexico?
Yeah.
There's nothing I can help you with then, sir. I do apologize. You're not on American soil anymore. I can't really help you.
I don't know if I'm really on the... I'm not sure if I crossed. Yeah, I guess.
Well, is it Mexican authorities that are talking to you,
yeah,
or is it U.S. that you're in Mexico?
So they have the right to just take my guns.
There's a huge sign that says it is illegal to enter Mexico with guns when you're driving down the 805 and the 5 freeways.
Okay.
Okay, so there are warning signs that do state that as you're driving down the freeway before you enter Mexico.
Yeah, I was hoping that there would be a turnaround point, but there never was.
There's a turnaround point before you get across the border.
Yeah, but not where I was. There was no turnaround point.
Well, then that means you were way far down then if you already passed it, if you didn't see the turnaround point. So, yeah, unfortunately, you're on Mexican soil. There's nothing we can do.
Okay.
All right, I apologize. Bye.
That call was the beginning of huge torment. I guess you would say, we talked about waterboarding in the past. We talked about things happening in the past to treating and interrogating. Well, when you're about to hear in a moment of what took place, think about it. Mm-hmm. Give us a perspective, Marine mm-hmm. perspective here. He's trying to reboot coming back from war.
Yeah.
He just leaves from healthcare, and he goes and spends some time in Mexico. He leaves his vehicle in America so that he didn't carry the guns or all of his clothes, everything he had in his car. And he was going to see some friends. He comes back to America to get in his truck, and he takes a wrong turn.
Yeah.
And we said, there's nothing we can do for you. Talk to me. What's going on? What, from a Marine's perspective, Stephen, you know, this is, talk to us.
Well, personally, my heart is, I mean, I'm teary just listening, because the fact that Andrew, you know, I was a sergeant as well when I got out, and the fact that he would go to the VA, that already is a huge, it's a huge step that a Marine would be quick to go to the VA, because it's just, that's a whole nother thing. It's just, he's like, I need help. And you have to take in consideration his perspective of, okay, getting to a checkpoint. He's thinking, okay, they're going to check a convoy, they're going to check
like,
a
truck. So he's approaching this border looking checkpoint.
Exactly.
Which happens all the time.
He sees sentries, he sees the guards, he sees the 3 individuals, the personnel, and he's knowing the fact, okay, I'm getting close to a border. This is not where I want to go. Mm-hmm. So his whole response is like, okay, I need backup. Right. I need QRF, which is quick reaction force. Okay, hey, I need the I need people to respond. So he's thinking state border patrol, state police, whoever.
911.
I need to call dispatch.
Right.
911. They're going to pick up. And
we're just thinking for him. Obviously, we don't know his mindset, but you're going to see from a Marine's perspective.
And
it blows
me away because he's understanding the fact that, okay, the intensity of this situation is not good because, okay, he's doing an equipment check in his head. He's like, okay, I've got guns in the car. I've got ammunition in the car. I don't know if he had ammunition, but it's just like he's taking
it. Yeah,
okay, what this can go bad.
Licensed guns. Legal guns.
Exactly.
Legal ammunition. All of his clothes. Everything you have. I mean, he probably had underwear in there too. I mean, you understand. It's everything he had.
Right. Uh-huh.
So if you got guns, you got a chessboard, checkerboard, and, you know, your socks. I mean, that's what's in your, it's everything you have. It's everything.
And that's the thing. Reportedly, he had just gotten back from being deployed. So everything he owned was in that car. And I've been that. Everything you own fits in your car. And that's the thing. It's just like, he's so calm.
Yes.
And they're like, well, there's nothing I can do.
Because he's innocent.
Like, exactly.
He's so innocent.
He's reaching out. It's just like, I need backup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not a good place. Okay, they'll just come. They'll respond.
Of course they will. Because you just fall for this country. Of course they'll come help you, right?
At least you would think so.
And she says, you're not on American soil. Think about this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we could do for you. And it's like, I wasn't on American soil when I was in Afghanistan and I fought for you. I wasn't in Iraq. I wasn't on American soil when I was in Iraq and fall for you. What is me being not being on American soil and you as an American and me as an American, you not being able to do something for me?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to us? Mm-hmm. What happened to us? Because, you know, we would never treat an American like that. But then American Marine and it just, you know, you can imagine, of course, he's starting to have all these thoughts. And this is the interesting thing, too. And I want you to comment on it when it comes up that we didn't get a chance to play this whole segment here. And you're going to get a chance to hear it because his mother, who is, you know, she's fighting for her son's freedom. And we're freeing Taliban leader soldiers while we're not even freeing this Marine. While we're actually, the reports are that we're freeing a soldier who abandoned the troops. You know, who left them in the field and they lost soldiers. They they died because this man just said, I don't, you know, reports are, according to them, that he didn't believe in what America was doing. He was more in tune with what the Taliban was doing. And therefore he left looking for the Taliban, the soldiers were saying. And now they actually died looking for him. They died because of him, they're saying. And also they feel like intelligence, which once somebody starts spilling their beans about what you're doing, everything's at, you know, an increase began to happen in regards to deaths. Mm-hmm. And the soldiers did say that, you know, we can't say that this happened exactly, but we can say there was a huge increase the second that he left us. Well, we're going right into this particular three-way phone call in just a moment. And I'm just so glad to have, you know, Steve with me, a former Marine. You're always a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. But also, he did two tours of duty fighting for us in Iraq, and he's going to give a perspective because Sergeant Andrew, who's in this Mexican prison as we speak right now, reports are that he's a Marine that we've left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear his voice, you heard his voice on the phone call. You heard how, I mean, that's how an innocent man talks. That's how a man who's done things right talks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just normal, as Steve was saying, to call 911, especially if you're in the military. You know, you're calling for backup. You're calling, this is a checkpoint. And you do hesitate going to checkpoints because checkpoints mean you're going to something different.
Mm-hmm.
What is the different thing I'm going to? And Don and I, we went to Mexico, and the area that we went to was guarded. There was a checkpoint with police armed guards just to be able to go to another segment of Mexico. And so these things are very relevant. But now understand how lightly that phone call was. And immediately she just defaults, oh, you're on a different nation. Think about it. Despite you being American, not even finding out who are you, you were, you know, did you take a wrong turn? We can't do anything for you. Didn't you see the signs? It's like, yes, we see the signs. That's what we're talking about today.
Right.
The signs are not good in America. Who are we as a nation that we don't stand up? And as Christians, we need to begin to pray. We need to pray. We need to call our congressmen and senators and the White House to say, listen, go get this. Go rescue this Marine who fought for us. But you got to hear his mother, three ways I'm in. This is a particular radio program going on, I believe, with The Blaze. And listen to what she says as Glenn and Sergeant Andrew talk.
Welcome to the program. It was 63 days ago that one of our heroes, one of the guys who has been fighting wars for us, was in San Diego. He had gone to San Diego to be able to get some medical help. He went to get this medical help. He was living out of his truck. He was going to go meet some friends at night. He gets into his truck. It's he's in a parking lot right on the Mexican border. It's at night. He makes one wrong turn. He doesn't really know where he's going, makes one wrong turn, and all of a sudden he's dumped into the line to get across the border. He calls 911 and says, "Hey, I think that I'm in trouble here. I've got guns. I've got all my stuff. I've got guns in the back of my truck, and I think they're going to take him. I think they're going to take the guns. Is there anything I can do to stop him?" Nope. But what he didn't see coming is they arrested him, and they put him in a maximum security prison. He was about to be killed. He was afraid he was going to be killed by because these prisons are notorious. And he escaped, not from the prison, but to a safer part of the prison where he stayed shackled. What was it, 30 days or 40 days? 30 days. Shackled, all 4 points, chained to a bed. As the president makes a prisoner exchange, of course, not a hostage release, a prisoner exchange, we have Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi still in jail in Mexico. We have released 60,000 Mexicans onto the streets, emptied our jails, and yet he is still sitting there, and nobody's even talking about it. For the first time, we have him on radio now from his jail in Mexico, and his mom is also on the phone. She's kind of conference called us and put us together. Jill, are you there?
Yes, Glenn.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in. Really optimistic with Andrew's new legal team.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we thank you for allowing us to hone in here on your mom time. But we have Andrew on the phone. Andrew?
Yes, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Can you tell us what happened in your own words?
In my own words, I was spending the day in Mexico, and I was hanging out, having some good food, and walking around, and I was thinking about staying the night in Mexico. I got a hotel in Mexico and decided that it wasn't a very nice hotel. It was dark and a little dirty, so I decided to go back to San Diego and be back with my friends because I was missing my friends. So I get a taxi cab to the border. I cross the border, and I walk over to the parking lot where my truck is, and I get in my truck, and I exit the parking lot. I make a left-hand turn followed by another left-hand turn. There was a road there that I got on that looked like it headed north back to San Diego, back to I-5 north. And I got on that road, and it happened that it did a U-turn to the right, a swooping U-turn to the right, and took me back on I-5 south heading to Mexico. So I was driving nice and slow looking for a place to do a U-turn, but I couldn't find one. So that road took me maybe like another half mile down south to Mexico. And I get to the gate that was the Mexican border that I wasn't even sure if it was the Mexican border at the time. I figured it was, but I wasn't positive. And there was a lady sitting like three gates over to my left, and I stop at the gate, and I wave to her to try to get her attention to tell her that I don't want to be in Mexico, but she waves me in like, commanding me to go, come on, let's go. So I follow her orders, and I go. I did hesitate. I got a green light. The gate went up. I hesitated for like maybe 10, 15 seconds because I didn't want to be in Mexico. So once she ordered me in, there was three police officers, border police officers, at a inspection table that are waving me in. So I drive to them, And I put the car in park, and they asked me, what is all the stuff that you have back here? I said, I have all my stuff back here, clothes and things, and I have three guns. I told them immediately that I had three guns and that I didn't want to be in Mexico. So I walk around the back of the truck with them, and I point out where my guns are. I say, I have two back here, a rifle and a shotgun, and I have my pistol in the front on the passenger seat. So they go about looking at my guns, and they put the guns back in the truck, and they tell me that they're going to help me out, that they're going to take me back to the American border, that they told me to wait maybe 30 to 45 minutes and that they were going to get an escort vehicle for me to take me back to the border. They asked me, they said, you think it's going to be okay with the American Border Patrol that I have three guns? And I said, yes, I think it's going to be okay. I have permits for them. You know, I own these guns, so yes, I think it's going to be okay. So they move my truck to another parking area, and they get my guns out of the truck, and they put them on the tailgate of my truck, and they start getting all the ammunition out of them and all the ammunition out of my truck. And then they call on the radio, and I think what they said on the radio, which was in Spanish, that the situation was that we have someone here with three guns. Maybe they told him that I didn't want to be there or not, I'm not sure, but there was a shortly after that, there was a military captain that came over, and he took charge of the situation from there, and they took my truck from that one parking area into a fenced-in parking area that was screened in with black screen all around, so no one could see what was going on. It was like a little hidden area, and then he, the military captain, he was very like, he was, in a sense, I think he was trying to scare me a little bit, and of course I was nervous because I had there was like 20 people there with military people with rifles watching me, and you know, making sure that I wasn't going to make any sudden movements or whatever. So I was very afraid and nervous that they were going to do something to me. And I think it was a very sketchy situation. There was something definitely not right there. And I think what it was they were probably trying to get a bribe out of me, is what I think it was. What I'm pretty sure it was is that they were looking for a bribe. And they were trying to get me to sign some paperwork there that was all in Spanish, and there was no translator there to translate them. And I said, no, I'm not going to sign this paperwork. I don't understand them. I'm not signing them. And then they were saying, after that point, they were saying, well, we're going to take your truck. We're going to take all your possessions. We're going to take your guns. And then after they said that, that's when I called the 911 call, and I let them know. I said, hey, I'm in a bit of an emergency here. I accidentally drove into Mexico, and I didn't mean to be here, and I have three guns, and they're trying to take my guns from me. So that's when that happened. And then I was just more nervous, and I decided, you know, I'll sign the paperwork, because maybe that'll hopefully get me out of here. Hopefully that'll give them what they want, and I could get out of here. And the lady who was translating, who spoke broken English, she said that all the paperwork said was that I was in Mexico with three guns. I said, okay, well, that's the truth, so I'll go ahead and I'll sign these papers. But shortly after the papers, they apprehended me and arrested me.
What did the papers say?
I don't know, to be honest. They were like maybe four or five papers. I have to ask my lawyer. Okay. Because they should be on file.
All right. So you're now taken. You're not just taken to a Mexican jail. You're taken to a notorious prison. And you call your mom one night and you say, don't come down here, Mom. They're going to kill me tonight, but don't come down here. Tell me about that.
Yes, it was Well, first they took me to another prison for like 2 days, and then from that prison they took me to La Mesa, which is the notorious one. And I was put in a cell, a small cell that was for six people, there was about 15 to 20 people in there. And there was all kinds of bad criminals in there. There was murderers in there, and kidnappers, and drug dealers, and all these people. And there I was.
We're about to come back from this break and continue to hear Sergeant Andrew. Understand, this is a man who took a wrong turn, who fought for our country, and is over 63 days since he's been there. And look how this thing is building. And it's like, where are we? Who are we as a nation? We're listening firsthand to Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi. Tamarisi, who is an American citizen, a Marine, who right now is in a Mexican prison, who just took a wrong turn. And as we heard earlier, as the 911 operator said, there's nothing we can do for you. And he's just signing these papers. He thought he couldn't read them. It says it's Spanish. So he signed it because she says, all this says, you have guns. He goes, well, that's true. I have guns. I'll sign it. It's not a big deal. Maybe I'll lose the guns or whatever. And instantly, it begins a terrifying journey. He's going to begin to explain because they arrested him immediately once he signed it. Listen up or watch.
Taken to a notorious prison. And you call your mom one night and you say, don't come down here, mom. They're going to kill me tonight, but don't come down here. Tell me about that.
Yes, it was, well, first they took me to another prison for like 2 days, and then from that prison they took me to La Mesa, which is the notorious one, and I was put in a cell, a small cell that was meant for six people, there was about 15 to 20 people in there, and there was all kinds of bad criminals in there. There was murderers in there, and kidnappers, and drug dealers, and all these people. And there I was, someone who's not a criminal, never done a crime before, never been to prison. I was nervous, and they seen that I was nervous and that I was a little, you know, worried. And I think, I don't know what their train of thought was, but they threatened me. They threatened to rape me. They threatened to kill me. And I was very fearful. I was fearful to the point where my heart was pounding and I couldn't have got a single word out if I had to yell for help. And I needed to get out of there was what I was thinking. I need to get out of there because if I go back in that cell, then I'm going to get raped and killed and I'm not going to see tomorrow. So it was nighttime around 8 o'clock at night, and it was time to make our daily phone calls. So I go outside. I say, okay, this is my chance to get away. And I call my mom, and I tell her, hey, mom, it's a possibility that these people in here, I told her, there's a possibility that I'm not gonna make it out of here alive, and that you don't promise me not to go after anyone if this happens to me, because I don't want them to come after you guys. So I asked my mom to pray for me over the phone, and she prayed for me, which gave me strength, and I was no longer fearful. And then I made my move, and I attempted to escape. Really, I wasn't even, I was thinking, okay, if I get out of the prison, that will be nice, but I just want to get out of that cell. So there was a cage right next to where I was making the phone calls. Do you want me to go into the details of
Okay, you're looking at right here, right now. You know, think about, he took a wrong turn. He's locked up with, this is a Marine. When a Marine says that he's so fearful that words wouldn't come out of his mouth because he's locked up with murderers and rapists and drug dealers and kidnappers in a six-man cell that has 15 to 20, and they're threatening to rape him and to beat him and to kill him because he took a wrong turn, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's mentioning it. And we're freeing simultaneously. We're freeing Taliban. I mean, this is going on right this moment, and I want you to see right this moment. This is CBN News reporting, and we're going to come back to this because he's got more. He's going to talk about what happened right here. But take a look at this. Look at this and hear what's happening as we speak, what our country's doing, why Andrew is in Mexico prison right now. Listen up. Watch.
A new video released by the Taliban shows a clean-shaven Bergdahl dressed in Afghan clothes sitting in a pickup truck. Moments later, a Black Hawk helicopter lands, and he's handed over to American Special Forces in Afghanistan. The exchange is made as dozens of Taliban fighters, armed with AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades, watch on a nearby hillside. Bergdahl's release has sparked a huge controversy with his former soldiers, accusing him of deserting and putting American lives at risk.
I feel like he deserted us. He knew what he was doing when he deserted us. It was premeditated. It was thought out.
Fellow soldiers say the 24-year-old started complaining about America's role in Afghanistan early on, and just months into his deployment, he disappeared from his base, leaving his body armor, weapon, and helmet behind. The U.S. launched a massive search that resulted in the deaths of several American soldiers.
People calling him a hero and people calling him this great soldier, I mean, it's a spit in the face to the soldiers who died as a direct result to him leaving.
The Army says they will review Bergdahl's case to see if any misconduct occurred. Meanwhile, his release has also backfired on the White House. Republicans want to hold hearings on whether the president broke the law by not consulting Congress on the deal to swap a U.S. prisoner for five senior Taliban leaders.
Is ill-founded, it is a mistake, and it is putting the lives of American servicemen and women at risk.
The president apparently told the Senate's top Democrat, Harry Reid, that the exchange was imminent, but just didn't tell any Republican leaders. It must have been either the day before or the day off. I don't remember for sure, Reid told Politico. Still, some Democrats are upset about how it all went down.
I strongly believe that we should have been consulted.
Bergdahl was held by the Taliban for 5 years. He's now in a military hospital in Germany and is expected to return to the United States later this week. George Thomas, CBN News.
Simultaneously, at the same time that you're hearing Andrew talk, Sergeant Andrew, who did not abandon his troops, who just is beginning his integration back into society again after he has the war mindset, listen how calm he is. You're listening to him when he called 911. You heard firsthand right there at that moment when it should have been, we should have rescued. With that moment, there should have been somebody like a 911. Oh, we did have a 911 operator mm-hmm. who said, there's nothing we can do for you. And now he's locked into a cell, a law-abiding citizen, a Marine who fought for our freedom, not on American soil, is in prison. It's simultaneously why he's in prison. We are freeing. We're freeing what you just saw on CBN News. We went there and freed this particular, the soldiers, you heard them say. They say, this guy abandoned us. He left us. He left us. And our Marine is in Mexico right now. And you say there's nothing you can do for him? While he's there, they went out there, and it's a shocker. And Steve's going to talk about it in a moment. Just the visual of watching Taliban with guns standing there while America comes and trades out this guy who abandoned his own men out there in people's lives. It's just a tragedy. And so when you start hearing how, Sergeant Andrew calls his, to mercy, calls his mother up there talking, you're hearing him talk here because she three-wayed him in, that he's going like, I figured it was over. But that's the mindset. Now, Steve's going to talk to us more about that after this break. But understand, as a Marine, you're going, I have to fight my way out of this thing. I mean, obviously, they've taken me down. They're going to rape me. They're going to kill me. I'm law abiding, so therefore all this other stuff is about bribery and kidnapping and murder and rape to me. And it's like everything was flipped in the context of all of a sudden now you have that military mindset, you got to escape. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, you're going to hear him as he's talking about what his mentality was and what he was thinking. We are listening firsthand to Sergeant Andrew Temer Isi, who is a Marine, a citizen, a U.S. Marine, who is in jail as we speak, as you saw what's happening simultaneously when we're going to the Taliban and working with the Taliban and freeing what you heard what the soldiers are saying about this particular guy. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But understand, while you're hearing him talk, while you're hearing Sergeant Andrew talk in just a moment, you're going to hear what happened to him even more. It started with a wrong turn on the highway with words like, there's nothing we could do for you, sir. And look what we just did for this reportedly, you know, a soldier who left his troops in the field and lives were lost because of this particular decision they are saying that he did and all the logistics that we put into getting this guy out of there. And now we're not doing anything for Andrew a couple feet away in this notorious prison. He just called his mother and he said, I prayed with my mother. I had peace. I was ready to do whatever I needed to do to get out of there. And that's a typical response when you are a soldier and people it's coming against the context of your law abidingness and normalness. It's like, this is an enemy trying to this is what happened in Afghanistan. It's what happened in Iraq. And it's what's happening on the borders of America and Mexico. And it's what's happening in Mexico. So listen, what he just prayed with his mother, he said, he got peace. And what you're noticing is he was ready to die because I'm going to get out of this thing. I'm going to get out of this thing. I'm not going to get my parents involved in this. I'm not going to have them have to be me to be kidnapped and held for ransom and all those different things that he was talking about that could happen. But listen up. This is Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi right now in jail in Mexico who fought for us, who we're not rescuing, talking. Listen up.
No, you can just a little bit. I just want to know, I just want to know, you didn't try to escape the prison. You just tried to escape into a safer area.
I was just trying to get away as far away as I could.
Okay.
At the point.
And then they captured you?
Yeah, well,
what's really important to understand here, he was locked in a cell that was for six people, for six folks. And it had 15 to 20 in there, murderers, rapers, drug dealers. And they're saying, we're going to kill you. We're going to rape you. And that's what he's talking about. He wanted to escape and get, you know, you're going to die if you stay. And so that's what you hear, you know, escape. And obviously he's trying to talk with him about this. I want you to hear the context of that. That's what he's trying to escape from what he's about to lose his life.
After I was shot by a lady on post, not shot, I'm sorry, I was shot at by a lady on post. I surrendered. I got on the ground with my hands behind my head and surrendered.
Right. And then they chained you to a bed for over 30 days.
Yeah, after that, you know, I got punished physically for maybe like 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And then after that, I was stripped naked and I was handcuffed both my legs and my hands around the post of a bunk bed there. And I was there for maybe 12 hours or maybe 10 hours overnight, shivering in the cold naked. And then the next day, they take me to another little cell by myself, and they cuff one of my legs to one wall, and then they cuff my arm to the opposite wall and about maybe 2 feet above my head. So I was there with my hand dangling above my head with no circulation going to my very minimum circulation going to my fingers there for about maybe... I think it was maybe 24 hours with no food, no water. And then they take me off of the handcuffs. And I was afraid that the prisoners were still going to come and get me and that they were talking to the police officers and that the police officers were going to come and get me and torture me and get information about my family. So I said, I'm not going to let them do that. So there was a light bulb on the ceiling, and I took this light bulb and I broke it, and I stabbed myself in the neck because I said, I'm not going to let them take my life. I'm going to take my own life. That was my train of thought then. And I was there on my knees praying with blood pouring out of my neck. puddled on the floor, and thankfully, thank God, the prisoners were outside of the door, and I think they heard the smash of the light bulb. And they came in, and I blacked out from there, and then I remember waking up on a bed in a room in the prison with IVs in my arms, with the doctor saying, "Andrew, come on, Andrew," trying to get me to wake up again. And thankfully, I woke up again, and they took me on in an ambulance to a hospital where they stitched me up, and then they took me back to the infirmary, the hospital and the prison. And then that's when they handcuffed all four of my limbs to the bed for a month.
Handcuffed all four of my limbs, my hands and my legs, to a bed for an entire month. A wrong turn, a 911 call, a response from America that he fought for. There's nothing we can do for you. You should have seen the sign. A soldier who believed that people are good. People don't. I'm doing what's right. I'm legal. You know, I love the people in Mexico. I love the people in America. I just came from there. So I'm, you know, these guys are not going to do me wrong. Then he gets ordered from this checkpoint, if you would. And he starts following that mindset. And you do have hesitation in the military, as we were talking about. And this whole thing progresses from a wrong turn to trusting what the officer said. This is just about the guns. The second he signs those papers written in Spanish that he didn't read Spanish, he couldn't read it. They arrested him, and this whole journey began. Talk to us, Steve. Listen, we have to do something. We can do something. It's a government by the people and for the people. You are the government. You are the people. You can call your congresswoman, congressman, your senators. You can call the president and say, listen, you just rescued, freed five Taliban enemies of America for somebody who the soldiers are saying was an enemy of America, even though he's American. Well, you have this Marine who actually proved and fought. And listen, what's going through your heart right now? You know, as a fellow Marine, don't you just want to rescue him? He's just like, we need to go in now, right? Go rescue him.
I want to be on a convoy right now, jocked up to cross that border.
I feel it. Don't you feel that? That's what I've been feeling in my heart. We need to rescue him.
I'm just absolutely broken at the reality of why our values and our priorities are so upside down.
Yes.
That when you see a bird, when you see an airplane drop with five or six SF guys to do an extract, when there's a pickup truck with multiple Talibans with AK-47s and RPGs, that is not just a simple, hey, let's go pick up some milk.
Right.
That is not just a simple pick up something, pick up, you know, your child from swim class.
Right.
That is a huge logistical organization, and there is a sergeant in the next nation. We don't have to cross seas. We don't have to. We don't have to cross the Mediterranean or go to the Middle East. He's right next door.
Right.
And it is an absolute travesty that that ticker is still at 63 days, and he's still there.
Right.
And it is a travesty. And if you're listening, just like what you said. Yeah. We should be there.
Yes.
There is no reason, there is no justifiable explanation why he is still there. It's not a single one.
No. And everything makes sense in war mentality. And
he's in war.
He's in war.
He's
in war. I mean, here he is, a law-abiding citizen. Everything's licensed to him. And they are violating his rights. And America just basically said, there's nothing we can do for you. And Washington, D.C. is saying, and the president said this, he said about freeing this particular man that abandoned these fellow soldiers that they said, you know, you're talking about all those logistics that they had.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we don't leave any man in uniform behind. That was the words that he used. And we need to make sure that's a sourced uniform behind, which means Andrew's not in uniform now. And it's like, what happened to VA? We have VA. It's like, did we forget about our troops the second they finished fighting for us in the field, and we bring them back, and all of a sudden you have, you know, the vets are dying and on secret lists, and he's not in uniform, so we don't rescue him. He's not somebody who fought for us anymore. He's not a citizen. There's nothing we could do for him. Every bit of that makes sense, doesn't it? Everything he said makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And kidnappers, this is what we talked about this before. I believe it was under chess, you know, people still want hegemony. They still want to rule the world. and they kidnap people. You kidnap them and they hold them for ransom, and it's called bribery. It's called bribery. You give me a bribe and I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. Give me a bribe and I'll let you out. And that threatening thing he's talking about, based on reports, is very common. No, I'm not talking about Washington, D.C. Very common in Mexico with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening all around him. And he knows bribery means this. You are going to be held captive while your family is harassed, and they use you as a go-between as bait. And so your mother that you love, your brother that you love, your father that you love, he knew that they're going to be threatened. And they're all of a sudden, because he's right there and they love their son. And so they're going to do this stuff. And so, you know, based on what he's saying is, hey, if I've just solved this thing, I prayed with my mother, I got a peace, I'm going to do what it takes to get out of here. Then he begins to end his life. It's like, that means that they won't be brought into this. They won't be able to use me as a pawn.
That's where his mindset is. Yeah. He's willing to end his own life because
I can see that.
You got to take in consideration those grueling hours being interrogating, being beaten, being in. I don't know what that's like, but I can empathize as far as going through an understanding interrogation, and they're going to break you down as much as humanly possible to get you to break and give up information. And he's not going to want to do that.
And I think about this as we're closing. Somebody says, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, Samson did it. Samson saw the tragedy and the disaster coming to people he loved in his nation, and he ended his own life. But you know what? He took more of the enemy out when he did, because he says he did more in his death than he did for his life. You have to understand, you know, the soldier mindset. This is a hero right now. And he's alive. Thank God he's alive. But we need to free him. We need to free him. Call your congresswoman, congressman, senators. Notify the president. Go to the VFNTV.com. Go to the torch and find out the details. And say, listen, free Sergeant Andrew from this Mexican prison today. Free him. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.